Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to this Blue Collar BS episode, Steve, where we shine a spotlight on the badasses of the trades world. Today, we have a story that's just too darn good to miss. Steve, are you ready for this show?
You damn well know it, Brad. On today's show, we've got Jacob Emery, a guy who embodies everything we love about this podcast. See, starting out at $9 an hour with nothing but a shovel in his hand, and now he owns the company. Oh, and he's running a weightlifting business on the side because apparently just one empire wasn't enough for this guy.
Absolutely, but here's the kicker. Jacob's journey didn't happen by accident. It took a pivotal moment with a mentor and a question that we all need to ask ourselves. What the hell are we doing with our lives? And Jacob's answer, it's a masterclass in owning your own future.
Yeah, plus don't miss the 19-minute mark where Jacob drops a bombshell about what it really takes to lead in this industry. If you've got a pulse, you want to hear this. You know what, Brad? I can already tell this one is going to hit people right where it feels and probably light a fire under their asses too.
Steve, your kindness is overwhelming. I don't know if I can have said it any better. So grab your coffee, your beer, or whatever keeps you fueled, because this episode is about to remind you why the trades aren't just a job. They're a damn calling. So let's effing go.
LFG! Welcome back to Blue Collar BS, Brad. How you doing today, my friend?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. And how is the frigid air in Motor City, Detroit, Michigan today?
I mean, actually, the sun is shining, which is rare, and it's quite annoying.
Got degrees back. We actually got our degrees back this week.
It was a 30-point swing.
We were deficit degrees for like 3 days here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was like crazy 30-point swing. But hey, I mean, that's cool. Still go outside in shorts and it's 20 degrees and you're still fine. Nothing's gonna freeze off, so why not?
Watching the snowball fights down in New Orleans, watching all the snow and things.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
Everybody posting with all the cold weather. It's like, oh, okay, welcome to my world. But we don't get the hurricanes, so that's good.
That's right. That's right. So I'll take that in snowblower wars any day. So I'm totally fine with it. I'm totally fine with that. So Brad, who do we get on the show today?
Well, we have a guest that you found. Mr. Doyle, thank you very much.
Yeah, we're going to bring that up.
Participation trophy today. We've got Jacob Emery. The dude is passionate about his health and weightlifting, but what got us really interested is his entry into the workforce from R&R Pipeline, Inc. He started there out as a $9 an hour with a shovel in hand and now owns the place, along with his weightlifting company and different things. And the best part that I enjoyed about his bio was that he had a mentor that actually took the time to have a question with him and said, what the hell are you doing with your life to create the opportunity for change? And I'm super excited to have Jacob here to tell the story and have conversations around that. So, Jacob, welcome to the show.
How we doing, fellas? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Hey, Jacob, before I forget, which generation you fit in with?
I'm a millennial.
Just like Steve.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Mm-hmm. It's going to be that kind of show. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, two against one. Let's do it.
Man. So Jacob, tell our listeners, you know, a little bit about your story. Like how did you, you know, growing up, how did you get into the trades, starting making $9 an hour, and then fast forward to owning the company?
Yeah, so I grew up with an absolute passion for running equipment. So either the full-size Traco at age 5 years old when I first learned to run one. So I have a video of me on a 490 John Deere at 5 years old and my little feet don't even hit the floor. And I'm sitting here like this. I'm happy as hell. I'm in my spot. And I was hooked ever since. So as a kid, I was around equipment and I fell in love with equipment. And then, you know, when I started getting a driver's license, go to work part-time at R&R Pipeline, it was a local company. And I had known the owner for a while, went to school with his daughter and just local in the community. And I was not built for college. I was not good at taking tests. I didn't fit in school. So instead of spending $20,000 a year to go to college for business, I went into the workforce to make $20,000 a year. And so that's where it started at 18 years old. I think it was even a week before I graduated high school and went in started working and never looked back. $9 an hour with a shovel in my hand. So that was my beginning. And then a couple years in, my ceiling of success in high school was to be dead or in jail by 21. So it wasn't very good if you didn't notice. I got in a lot of trouble. I drank a lot and I was not fitting in any type of box. So I am your typical visionary, crazy entrepreneur that didn't have any boundaries or barriers up that were putting me in a good direction. Okay. So I was a little bit on the chaotic side with no clear direction. And then my friend and mentor at the time, now a business partner in a couple of businesses, Corey Gregory, at the gym one day, and he's like, man, what the hell are you doing with your life? I was laid off from work. I was broke. I had time, but I had no money. And that was the start of the transition for me. So after that, I didn't know what I wanted out of life, but I knew that I had to change my environment. So I broke down my reality and I just said, you know what? I got to get away from this thing. This holding me back. My environment's shit. I'm shit. I'm going to be what everybody said I would be if I don't make a change. So I built a bridge away from that. You know, I built a bridge away from that bad environment and I just had to make a change. And I couldn't see through the woods because it was foggy, but I could see one step ahead of me. And that's what I did. 3 years later, I was, And 3 years later, by the time I was 23, I was running crews. So I went from the very bottom as a labor hand to 3 years later of skipping a happy hour at Applebee's.
Yeah.
And then reading a book, walking on a treadmill, something very simple, thinking about the next certification and applying some time there. And I went from that bottom end of the labor pool up to running crews in 3 years.
Wow.
That's spectacular. And congratulations. And so what gave Corey from your perspective, gave Corey the permission or the opportunity to ask you that question?
So it's kind of funny now.
So you can be receptive to it versus just getting into a fist fight saying, fuck you.
Well, I still did. I still wanted to do that. But when the question was asked, I had to look in the mirror, not the window. I had to look in the mirror, face my own reality and not look out the window for some type of external excuse. And we were lifting partners. Then we were kind of close, but not now. He's pretty much my best friend now. But I realized when he asked that question that I couldn't fucking answer it. He was right. What the hell am I doing with my life? 15 years later, and my very first podcast was 3 or 4 years ago on his podcast, and we talked about it for the first time, and we hadn't talked about it. He thought I should be in personal training because I was very passionate about it, and I was fit, and I was at the gym all the time. So he was more like, why aren't you just doing some personal training and applying yourself there because you're already at the gym all the time? So how I received it and what his intent was different. But he's like that anyways with, you know, people that he thinks needs to break out of that reality. And we were close enough that, you know, he said it to me, but I was really angry at myself because it was on me.
Okay. So how have you taken that lesson now as the leader of your organization to facilitate that within your team?
If R&R Pipeline is successful, it's because of the team. If there is any sort of setback or failure, it's because of me, because I'm the owner. And that is always on me no matter what. If someone in the organization makes a mistake, they either didn't have the proper training or the tools needed to you know, do the job correctly, or they had that and they shouldn't be there because they don't want it or they don't have the capacity for it. And they don't care enough to make the right decision. So either way, every failure on our pipeline's on me and my business partner. That's just how it is.
Kudos to you, because more business owners need to admit that right there. That specific line right there. Leaders taking responsibility for the failures of their team, because most leaders are putting it right back on the individuals. Like, that's huge.
And they're grabbing the other part is typically they're grabbing the success instead of putting the success where it belongs.
Yes.
And that is why there's huge value alignment here. Cause I believe that same principle. I believe Steve believes that same principle and hearing success stories through that is vastly important for our audience, because too many are trying to find those excuses, not look in the mirror, do those things that are detrimental to tomorrow's opportunities versus what's happening today.
You know, it's amazing what you can accomplish when nobody really cares who gets the credit. And Ronald Reagan said that quote, and it's been said by multiple people, but I don't care about getting credit for anything. You know, I don't need to be put up on a pedestal. My expectation of standing for myself is so high majority of people can't even fathom how high that is. So I don't look for validation. You know, I'm constantly worried about improving who I am and not trying to prove myself. So it's about improving, not proving to others. And so understanding that I have a responsibility now of 100 different families with the team members that we have. And that is, I wear that weight every day, because if I make one really big mistake, it can affect not just my family, but 100 different families. And the reality is I can't get fired. Everyone else can go get another job. I can't. I'm screwed. So as a business owner, that is our reality check.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's on us. You know,
yep.
I can't blame somebody else. If I blame somebody else, I'm giving them the power. And I have to look internally first. Is it on me? If it is, how is it on me? What can I do to fix it?
Yeah. So on that point with the your team, what are, in your opinion, what are you doing that's helping them kind of raise that bar in themselves?
Not micromanaging them. You have to show that you trust somebody, not tell them that you do. You got to verify that. You have to have things in place. You know, I'm a numbers guy. I like numbers. So I want to validate that the data shows that I can trust that person. But if I'm going to go try to do something safety related, I'm undermining the safety. Or the same with our operations. And you have to let them fail. You have to let them make mistakes and be there as a support to them and not someone that comes in and does the thing for them.
Right. Right.
And how are you seeing that micromanagement transition across the generations that you have in your workforce? Because from my perspective, I see that the younger workforce, that 18 to 23 year old person, needs more, maybe not micromanagement, far more guidance, because their life has been scheduled since they were 5 years old, compared to, you know, George, who might be 59, 60, 62 years old.
Is the expectation clear? That is the big thing for me. We just implemented EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System, here recently. Okay. And we actually come up to Lansing, Michigan every quarter for our meetings. And so making sure that there's a process. It's process or people. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
You know, two things that are going to drive our business: people, process. If them two things are right, or at least clear, everything else will fall into place. But what is the expectation? And is it black and white? I know you guys are all about production. We're production driven. We are a for-profit industry. And at the end of the day, we don't have anything to generate revenue except for our production. And if it's not clear what the expectation is, hey, I need to go get that job done today. What the fuck does that look like? Measure it for me.
Right.
I need it to be black and white. And I always say, I don't read between the line, I read the line. So tell me what the line says, and it's black or it's white, and there is no gray. Expectations being clear is one huge thing.
How have you seen setting those expectations? Have you seen any differences with that with the younger workforce?
It's interesting because we are transitioning EOS right now. We're about 1 year in, really call it 6 months. Yep. Of truly being there. I think if everyone has an expectation and they know I'm going to have this much output and then I get this reward back. So just being so intentionally clear about it takes all the guesswork out. I think it's been good for everyone. This is what I got to do to achieve this. But I think it really does come down to the individual. What does success look like individually? So I say individual success for team significance. So let everyone feel what it's like to be successful and be a part of the team while feeling individual success.
Right.
So what do you want out of life? You know, what direction are you heading? And my big thing a few years ago was the pride in our industry. It's very cutthroat. Yeah. It's very pride. It's production. It's cowboy. That's got to go away as a culture and a mentality, because that generation isn't the ones that are leading anymore. It's my generation. You know, it's the younger generation.
Right.
And it's a lot softer now than what it was when I grew up. That's just reality.
Guys, the hazing is so much different now, isn't it?
Way different.
I remember like barely being able to walk back in because I was either buried like with a backhoe bucket beat upside the head or whatever it was. And I'm glad I went through that experience, because it was what I caught, not what I was taught, that makes me who I am today. And so I don't ever want to have someone feel that way I did. And I'm thankful that I went through it, because it helped me become a better, you know, leader because of it.
How did you, get to the, obviously you said into the fitness, into the personal training. How has the training side, the gym side, the weightlifting side of your life and business ownership helped support your R&R pipeline business? How have those two things been able to work together?
The Iron built my infrastructure, and that is the name of my podcast, the Iron Infrastructure Podcast. So from the early kid at 5 years old running the heavy iron equipment and the weightlifting that I turned to because I was a fat fuck growing up. I was overweight. I got picked on. And just like that mirror thing, I couldn't tell anybody that they were wrong because I was fat. I was chubby. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't read and write very well. And so it created this massive insecurity. And 3 years ago, even to say that I would have a podcast and be on camera talking to you guys right now would have been fucking laughable. It would have been an absolute joke. Two of my biggest insecurities in my life were my confidence, you know, not being confident, having my shirt off in front of other people, and being in the spotlight, public speaking of any sort. And so the Iron let me know that I cannot control a lot, but I'm fat and the weight will make me not be fat. So I can lift weights. And that created such a foundational non-negotiable for me throughout the duration of my life. But I think the biggest lesson, it was delayed gratification. And a society that wants everything right now, the delayed gratification from that, because it doesn't matter how hard I work out today, I won't see the result today. I might not see it for a month or two, but I will eventually see it if I continue to put that deposit in every day.
you might feel that tomorrow, but you're not going to see the result tomorrow.
I'll feel it, but I won't see it. Yeah.
Right. And that's the, and that, so let's go to that point, right? You might feel it, but you won't see it. On our pipeline, that's got, I'm sure there's some of those instances where you have jobs where you're going to feel the pain today of doing that job and not see the result for maybe a month or two because something went awry or whatever. How are you helping your team members avoid that instant gratification piece and be prepared for the long haul?
I mean, that was the theme of last year. I don't know how you guys did in your respected portion, but last year sucked, dude. And the last 2 years, really, we got beat up the last 2 years more than previous years. And I think the biggest thing is back to the kind of that accountability. I go out on a job site and I'm talking to crews and letting them know these guys feel like they're failing. And I let them know, you're not failing. I'm failing you as a leader. So I take all the weight off their shoulders because I'm not providing them with what they need to be successful. And that's my fault. And I let them know that. And then it's like, you can see that just detrimental beat up look kind of just goes away a little bit because I carry some more of that burden for them. Mm-hmm. The reality is the workforce thing, you know, I know you guys are big on workforce and the amount of people available. The workforce that is going to be in our industry is directly tied to how we treat people because the reality is we don't have to work that hard as a society. You can go get different opportunities anywhere you want. When you guys came into the industry, when I came into the industry, I had to work. I didn't know any different. 30 or 40 years ago, you worked or you starved to death. That's not the case now. So we have to create an attraction to our respective businesses. Why do people want to come be a part of this thing? Mm-hmm. You know? And it's the same as like Elon Musk. Why does anybody want to go colonize Mars? The janitor there cleans the facilities that is helping the team, you know, colonize Mars. So he has a purpose behind of it. And I think that's everything.
Mm-hmm. In your community and your team, how are you helping attract that talent? Like what's setting you apart?
So we're in the process of creating a program and I came up with it a few years ago. It's going to be our separator, I think. So it's called the Pipeline to Prosperity. What are you putting in your pipeline to become successful? So right now it's workforce development, talking to the kids at school. I go into my alma mater actually, and I talk to this aspiring leadership class there. You know, we're interactive in the community with different fairs and stuff. So a lot of the workforce that we have working for us now, they're you know, kids are doing that activity. Yeah. And we're trying to create a destination. We're a contractor. At the end of the day, we are a contractor that works for natural gas distribution, you know, utilities. And we used to be a stepping stone. But the tide is starting to turn back where we are not corporate in a box. We are very, you know, entrepreneurial in general. So we allow the freedom to grow inside of our company and make it what you want as far as we set the vision in place and then let the people execute accordingly. And having that freedom to make decisions and to empower yourself and your team, it's huge. It's huge. But it starts with that foundation of being a part of something bigger than yourself.
Right. And that's where, you know, from my perspective, that Maslow hierarchy of needs, most people aren't working for food and shelter, safety and security anymore. Most.
Right.
Not saying we've eliminated it, but many. So you want that sense of belonging. So I guess I'm going to put you on the spot. So what's R&R Pipeline's purpose? How have you captured and encapsulated your life experiences to now bring forward whatever that purpose and mission is for the organization? If you've just gone through your VTO and all those other things, it should be relatively fresh. So tell everybody, what's your purpose with R&R Pipeline?
So we want to empower progress through infrastructure. That is our core focus. And we are empowering progress through infrastructure, personally and professionally. We are putting our team first. The team is what gets us anywhere and gets us everywhere. So we are riding or dying by that team. Build the people, and the people build the team. And so if we don't think about the development of our team first and the people on that team, then we cannot aspire to have big vision for the company. We want to build a transformational team and a legacy of excellence. So that's what our North Star looks like right now. It's all about the team. We can all tell a story about this great adventure we had, or this thing or that thing. Mm-hmm. I'm an owner of the company, but it has little to do with me. The only thing that I need to be good at is captivating the team, putting good people and the right people in the right seat. If that's taken care of, we'll figure the rest out. And when it got really hard last year, you could see certain people just weren't going to make it because they could not revert. They couldn't stay the line and not go back to the old pride cutthroat
switch.
Yeah. And it was a blessing in disguise, because at the end of the year, we hired a COO and someone in the industry for over 30 years, a mentor of mine for a long time. I worked with him, you know, previous to him coming on the team. Mm-hmm. And I told him when he came in, I'm not going to step away, but I'm going to let you step in. Tell me how I can support you. Empowering other people is what is, I think, really going to be the separator for us long term. I don't want recognition for anything. I want the team to get the recognition for all of it. And that means that we're being successful as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You're going to get some recognition here today. So sorry about that, Jacob.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you're getting some recognition today, because that is not the normal situation, particularly for your industry. That is 100% not the norm. And it is, our audience needs to recognize that at that 19-minute mark about what you just talked about with your purpose and what you're doing is vastly important for, doesn't matter if you're a piping company, a pipeline company, a pharmaceutical company, doesn't matter. It's everybody, every organization should be paying attention to that in order to create the opportunity for talent pool to do what needs to be done. Because at the end of the day, like you said, those folks probably weren't toeing the line, and they probably self-selected themselves out because you were trying to hold them accountable to something and they weren't the right fit. And it makes it super easy as a leader to have those conversations when you're not talking about the person, you're talking about the results.
And that's, I love that. You know, I'm really big on I don't want to talk about what the person didn't do. I want to talk about what the commitment was and the discrepancy of what wasn't done, not make it personal. So it wasn't that, Steven, you suck ass, you didn't get your job done today.
Well, he does. And he
right?
didn't.
I was waiting on something. But it's more about, okay, so we wanted you to just show up on time 5 days this week, and you showed up 3 days, and 2 days you were late. So what caused this to happen so we don't let it reoccur in the future? And when you just frame it different, it really takes all the personal, you know, defensiveness out of it. And then you can actually have a conversation that doesn't become just an argument.
Well, and so one of the things we did with one of my clients who was a contractor, general contractor remodeling, he had younger staff members. We just changed that entry level position that it was okay to show up late 2 days a week. And in order to go back to the next level, you had to show up 5 days a week on time in order to get to our next level and that next raise and that next bump to take away that frustration and empower the employee versus putting all that burden and stress back on the employer.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing that the standard of excellence is so low. The bar is set so low today that you have to do that, but you have to reset the culture to build it back up. And sometimes it's harder to do in that, but the reality check is you have to inspect what you expect. So you have to make sure that you're doing the things. It's got to be feasible. You can't just say, all right, I need you to lose 50 pounds tomorrow and go on this big weight loss journey, or I need you to become a foreman tomorrow and you just start as a laborer. We got to be realistic with it. And these things do take time, unfortunately.
Right.
So, Jacob, how do people find you? Where do they find opportunities to hear your story, talk to you, understand both the health journey and or the business owner journey? How do people find you?
All my social media handles are JacobEmery44, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube page.
What's the number 44? What's the significance of 44? Are you a Henry Aaron fan or what's going on there?
I used to race motocross actually when I was in high school. And that was my racing number, and it's been with me ever since. So
that's great.
Yeah, that was the reason why. And the only reason I did that is because I couldn't just take Jacob Emery because someone else did. So I was fucked on that one. But
because you said you're a millennial, so I know you weren't born in 1944.
Yeah,
so
yeah, right? No. But and then rnrpipelineinc.com for anyone interested. We're in Central Ohio right now and the surrounding states. So that state up north. But
Michigan, right?
Yeah,
no, well, yeah, that, yeah, they yeah. won't say it, and we won't say that state down south.
Yeah, yeah, but definitely,
it's okay.
Hey, national championship, we got it. That's the saving grace. We'll take it all day.
It's tainted. It's okay.
Yes,
you do know he's in the suburb of Columbus, right? So
I'll be in Columbus again in March.
It's I can tell you that.
That's good.
Who do you like, Brad? Who's your team?
From football, I'm a Lions guy. I've been there forever and a day, so I feel pain
college.
The time.
He's talking college.
Yeah. College, I'm a Badgers, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
Oh, so you don't understand the national championship thing, so I guess for you.
That is a true statement. I have not had one redacted either, but that's okay. You know,
we can still talk shit about that stuff, right?
We don't have a $21 million payroll for our football team.
Ooh.
I mean, we all have excuses and assholes, my friend. I guess it just is what it is. Hey, winners win. OHIO.
That is the truest statement right there. Winners win.
Yeah. But rnrpipelineinc.com. So rnrpipelineinc.com. If Central Ohio is our headquarters, and then all the surrounding states. We're in PA right now. We're starting to hit that growth phase. So any surrounding state to Ohio, we're interested in personnel coming in and opportunities for the work itself. And then Iron Infrastructure Podcast is my podcast. Mm-hmm. And I am actually going to be releasing a coaching business here in the next few weeks, doing more group coaching.
Good for you,
online.
Man.
Yeah. So I really want to try to serve and help other people out. I want to help the younger version of myself. And it's going to be called Jacob Emery's Unlocking Greatness. Everybody has greatness inside of them. And my mission is to inspire and empower others to unlock their own greatness. So many people just do not ever figure it out. And I think out of everything I've witnessed in this industry, we live in an industry of miserable, old fucking people. You just live and die and are miserable all day, every day. It is true.
I wish it wasn't true, but it is very, very
true.
But
it is true, yeah.
Clients right now that we're trying to work on transition and getting knowledge and information and power out of is just getting that transfer. It's like pulling teeth. It's like going to the dentist every freaking day.
Yeah. Right. You know, we have such a appreciation and abundance type of mindset for our culture. And the older generation really never felt that or seen that and thought it was genuine at all. Because if it happened, it was probably fake. And so it's hard to change that narrative in the industry, but I'll come hell or high water, I'm going to do it.
That's awesome. Congratulations, sir. Thank you for being a guest today, sharing your story and inspiration. We do appreciate it. And unfortunately, you did win. So that's okay.
Hey, winners win, my friend.
Winners win.
Hey, I want to open it up to you guys too sometime. If you want to come on my show, I'd love to have you on. You guys can come on individually. I'd love to sit down. I know you guys both are into coaching. You've done a lot of great stuff. I'd love to be able to get you on my platform and recognize you there. So open invitation.
Yeah, that'd be great. So,
all right. Thank you, sir.
Cool. All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.